right where you belong. This is CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
Mike and Chris, the two princes, like each other a lot. One day they decided they should give radio a shot. On CKUW
95.9 FM, Winnipeg, Manitoba.
We tell some jokes, inspire folks to truly harness in. And if you haven't heard the show, well, where the heck you been? Are you giving your 10%?
Heck is it today?
Where'd you go?
It's coming up.
The best part of the show is that nobody's listening, so we can say most anything.
Nobody's there.
Nobody cares. We're all gonna die
someday. This is our show and nobody's listening.
Ripping on in to another evening of fun and fabulosity.
Did you find a two-bite brownie, baby?
Found a two-bite brownie.
Move on in closer. I'm a little off to this side right now.
Oh.
But you gotta get in closer.
Let's get in close. Close enough to party.
To sizzle.
The sizzling steak of humanity is here today on 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba. We are the two princes. I'm Chris.
I'm Mike.
And we are here for another day of fun. We are celebrating our New Year's resolutions. How many have you broken?
I don't remember.
Nice. Broken all of them. Forgot my sister's birthday.
So was one of your resolutions to remember your sister's birthday?
It should... that should be my New Year's resolution every New Year. One of them every New Year. Because, like, all I have to do then is message her at 2:35 in the morning on New Year's Day.
Mm-hmm.
It's now, I have done it.
Her birthday is New Year's Day?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But since I didn't put it on my New Year's resolution registry, I already
failed. Your dad must have been really proud of that when she was born.
Mm-hmm.
First baby. It's great. I love it. I'd be proud of that, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that people create unrealistic expectations so that when they break them, they're not too hard on themselves about it. Like, I'm going to do this. So I think a good New Year's resolution would be to just say, I'm going to try to be, keep being, like, the same, but, like, you know, maybe a bit nicer or something.
Mm-hmm. I get that.
I got mad about cutting boards at work the other day.
Why? What do the cutting boards do to you?
They cut me.
How do the cutting boards cut you?
Because they're boards for that cut.
Oh, that's fair.
And
Jeffy's, yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. sorry, that was a joke. I was just kidding. I didn't mean that.
Oh, boy. We're done. It's all over.
But, yeah, so the cutting boards were dirty.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Like I've lost it?
We've lost it. This show is over.
You've really lost
forever.
The plot.
No, not the plot. We're just going to get... People are very sensitive when it comes to the use of kitchen functions.
Yeah, so nobody washed the cutting boards and then they put them back in the cupboard and they smelled like old feet and cheese.
Ew.
And I got mad. I was like, this is unacceptable. No. I was yelling.
Yeah.
Like, not like screaming.
Are they
like,
wood cutting boards?
They're plastic
the
ones.
Plastic ones?
Yeah.
I mean, those ones are sterile as anything all the time.
Yeah, but there's...
They're like black socks. They never...
Stop siding with the lazy people at my work.
Is that what the lazy people at your work said? They like black socks?
I don't know. I was just mad. I get mad at work a lot because I don't really like being there.
People should wash cutting boards.
But then I put them in the dishwasher, and this guy was like, that was a good deed. And, and then today I was looking for the cutting boards, and they were gone. And I think that somebody thought I was being annoying, and... got rid of them on me.
Oh, so now nobody can cut. Because
I'm the only one I'm the most important person. Cutting boards are there for me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just couldn't find them. But I think that somebody did that intentionally
nice.
To piss me off.
That's awesome. You should ask about the cutting boards. You should organize an emergency house meeting.
Yeah.
To discuss the whereabouts.
And today I was like, everything just goes in our group chat.
Yeah.
And like, nobody explained anything to me. And I was like, I really prefer it when I'm explaining things to my face. Mm-hmm. But then I figured out where to go. So it's fine. But then somebody got lost in the parkade.
Mm-hmm. That'll happen. Parkades are scary.
No, they went to the wrong one.
Oh.
Anyways.
What was this event? Where was this?
We went to watch the Jets practice.
Oh, that's sad.
It was kind of fun.
Yeah.
I didn't know who I was looking at. I think I spotted Morrissey. Nice. I think I can recognize how he skates. They should just get a couple more guys like him.
Yeah. Gotta do something. Apparently they're in last place right now.
Jets are weird, man. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's because Schleifler didn't get to the Olympics.
Yeah.
He should have gone.
Maybe, although he's the captain of the worst NHL team in the
league. Yeah, that was the argument my buddy was saying, too.
You can't really... He's not a winner. The good thing is that the best team in the league in the tournament has Connor Hellebuck for a goaltender. And in an important situation, he will always choke.
So he's the goalie for the Canadian?
For the United States.
Oh, yes. Oh, good.
Yeah, so...
So he's... Right, in an important situation, he doesn't know what to do.
As soon as they're in an elimination game...
Yeah.
They're just going to get peppered. But man, that American team is stacked.
Oh, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Who's...
Canada is less stacked.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
Yeah. I mean, America is just kicking so much butt right now.
Yeah, kicking butt all over the world and taking names.
Yeah, we were just talking about this before, but really, I don't really know what's going on. Like, yeah. I got off social media, and it's been really nice.
Yeah.
And I hear news on the radio and stuff.
Yeah.
But when my news isn't, it isn't assisted by everybody's opinion,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what to make of it.
Yeah.
Because I need to hear... Everybody weighing in.
Right? I don't want a neutral news.
Yeah, I just want everybody's opinion.
People say that they don't want the spin of whatever news thing they're watching, but it's like, no, please. I need someone to tell me what to think of this. Don't just present me with neutral facts.
Yeah.
And have me make my own decision. Tell me what to think about all these things. You know, the fact that America is trying to make, or the United States of America is trying to make it so that all the countries and all the continents that share the name America just become part of it. Like the United States of North and South America. Like, I don't know.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'm assuming he's declared war on Venezuela. He's taken over Venezuela.
No, this is what I was saying
and
before.
Cuba's next, and he's after Denmark.
I think Trump is like motivated by his own interests, mm-hmm. but I do think it's possible. I'm not saying this is the case. I think it may be possible that occasionally his self-interest could line up with the interest of less fortunate people.
Yeah.
You know, in Venezuela, it is possible that maybe the regime that was there was violating all kinds of human rights stuff. And him going in there might have been good. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying we have to be open to the fact that occasionally self-interest lines up with interest of the many.
Yeah, broken clock is right twice a day.
That being said, I'm not on social media, so I don't have enough opinions going back and forth mm-hmm. to know where I really stand.
Yeah.
You
should get back on my social media.
I hate it.
Get that liberal spin.
Yes.
Because only liberals spin stuff. I've become a 58-year-old white man recently.
Are you a conservative now?
I am now super conservative. Mm-hmm. You know, we got a...
I'm a fan of Kid Rock.
Yeah. Oh, man. Ba with the ba to bang to bang, Diggy. Diggy set the boogie and up chopped the boogie.
I'm sorry, but that... That video of him shooting the cans, it is the funniest thing I've ever seen. Yeah. Like
crying because there's a rainbow on his can.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like you anymore, Bud Light. And it's like, dude, you're drinking Bud Light. Yeah. There is... Yeah.
But I mean, Bud Light was just pandering in a different direction.
Well, they know who their clientele is.
Yeah.
So they pandered
somewhere else.
So they pandered to their clientele.
No, they pandered in a different direction, and their regular clientele didn't like it.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. But, you know.
They should just... It's beer.
Yeah.
How is beer political?
Well, when you put a rainbow on the flag, or a rainbow on the can, baby, why would you do that if not political?
I just love it how these people just start crying about this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, have you seen that movie, I think it was Bruno? Like, wrestling? And it's like it turns out that he starts making out
with his manager.
And then there's that guy that was really all about wrestling that starts crying.
Yeah.
Because he's so confused.
Yeah.
That was great. Borat 2 is underrated.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's a beautiful movie.
I don't know. I've seen it.
It's really nice. There's a lot about...
That's the one where they find they got Giuliani in a fun position.
Yeah, but there's also a lot of stuff about, like if you actually get to know people, the preconceived notions you have about them can fade.
Yeah.
And, if we just talk to each other, it's not so bad usually.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, you know, why does someone feel the way they feel? It's a lot of the time it's because they're impressionable and,
yeah,
you know, but yeah, I don't know. It's just like, you know, I'm a huge Trump supporter and you know, you're still my friend.
Yeah.
And I think that's great.
Despite all your Trump support,
I may be off social media, but I'm still afraid of judgment, so... Yeah. I didn't mean that.
The opinions expressed on the Two Princes are not condoned by the Two Princes.
It's so funny how, like, we live in an era where, like, making a joke like that is still, to me at least, like... The potential for someone to hear that and worry about it.
And it's so real.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
but it's not real. It's just people's opinions.
I know, but we've lost the ability to understand when someone is making a joke.
I know.
And it's heartbreaking.
I know.
Like, I see all these things. Like, people quote things. It was on a comedy program, and you're quoting it as fact.
There's a Kids in the Hall sketch from the early 90s that, like, made fun of liberal arts college.
Yeah.
And, like, the stuff people are saying now, it's... Like, I heard these guys on the bus that were in early university, and they sounded exactly the same as people did when we were at university age, you know? Nothing's really changed. They were making fun of liberal arts college, and there was a girl that was like, you're co-opting my rage and all this stuff, and it was like... they were making fun of kind of... all the different stereotypes of the, like, the teacher was a pig or something. I don't remember exactly, but, like, they're making fun of all the sort of uptight, politically motivated, yet at the core of it just kind of angry, or just, you know, people in liberal arts college.
Yeah.
And it was really funny because it's comedy and it's pointing out how silly people are, which I think is the point of comedy, especially when it touches on political or social issues.
Yeah.
But people in the comments section were taking it seriously.
Yeah. And it's like, dude, check your sources.
Yeah.
Like
the people that made this agree with you.
I don't listen to Fox expecting to hear anything truthful. Just like, I don't expect, if it's a comedy show, expect comedy. Unless it's Greg Gutfeld. That's right. I'm taking pot shots at the right wing today.
Who's Greg Gutfeld?
He is a late night host on Fox.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's apparently the best late night host there is. Currently. It's really good. Apparently he's been owning liberals on Jimmy Fallon's show.
Whoa.
Yeah, Jimmy Fallon put him on and he... just owned the liberals.
But the whole thing is all just a joke because, like, us taking our opinion so seriously,
yeah,
and the division that it creates is feeding the thing that we're against. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're a part of capitalism.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you hate capitalism and you go on Facebook and rail against it and get into an argument with some right-wing schmuck,
yeah,
you are feeding capitalism.
Yeah.
Because the whole system runs on division. We're lining Mark Zuckerberg's pockets. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be aware of what's going on and have opinions and, you know, try to do the right thing. It's just getting into arguments with people on Facebook
is feeding capitalism. Yeah. Getting into online debates is never the right thing.
Except that one time when...
In a productive sense.
Except that one time when I got in an argument with a guy about Ben Kaplan.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard of that guy?
I have heard of Ben Kaplan.
He's not bad, but he sounds like Tom Waits.
Yeah.
And some guy was like, Tom Waits would be proud.
Tom Waits would sue him for ripping him
off. Yeah, why? Like, when people say he would be proud, like, what? What does that mean? Yeah,
ripped off my voice.
So I was like, why would he be proud? It just sounds like Tom Waits.
Yeah.
Like, Tom Waits probably wouldn't care.
Tom Waits sued a company for, I think it was a radio station for running ads I think it was Doritos, where the guy's voice sounded like Tom Waits.
I love how weird these celebrities are and unpredictable.
Yeah.
How they're like so artful and like weird and like standing up for their art. And then he goes and does a dog food commercial.
Yeah.
But I do think there is something funny about that. That's probably why he did it, because he thought it was ridiculous.
He probably has a dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he's probably like, this is my dog's favorite food. I will support it.
So yeah, I got into an argument on the YouTube thread with some random person.
About Ben Kaplan?
Yeah. And then the guy said something about how I should have my tongue ripped out.
Oh, then you could sound like Tom Waits.
What's that?
Then you could sound like Ben Kaplan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, I don't like getting into those.
That seemed like nice advice.
Yeah.
And were you just like, I don't really want to sound like Ben Kaplan, thanks.
Yeah.
And,
What happened with the Flaming Lips? Didn't,
Steven
Droged?
Yeah.
He quit or got kicked out or something?
Yeah.
Is there any, like, story there?
I haven't got... I mean, he said that they kicked him out.
Do you think he started doing drugs again?
Maybe. I know his daughter went missing a month and a half ago.
Mm.
And then he was out of the... So it's either his daughter is still missing, or... But Wayne Coyne... I mean, don't get... Wayne says that it was something very personal and extremely selfish that Steve left the band.
I mean...
And Steven says he was kicked out. It's probably drugs.
Yeah.
Let's be real. He was probably watching his daughter, did all the drugs. This is just speculation at this point. Then the daughter goes missing.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, no, there was a big thing where his daughter went missing. I think she was found. I don't know.
Is she a kid?
I don't know. Let's find out.
Was she found? I hope so.
I think she was found. I think she was found a-okay.
I mean, these guys are, like, total weirdos, right?
Yeah.
Like, not like that's a bad thing. Like, being, you know, the fact that they're weirdos is part of the charm. I just mean, like, you know, you could see them getting into some stupid arguments about, yeah, whatever. If it's drugs, then I get it.
Okay. Oh, so it was last year in October, or in October 2024.
Yeah.
She was missing in Seattle, Washington for 2 days.
Oh, okay. So she was found.
She was found.
Well, that's good.
I wonder if there's any new updates as to why he was kicked out. Because that'd be cool to find out, because, yeah.
Yeah, it's like... Is that band the same without him?
That's the question.
Yeah.
I mean... The guy who played all the instruments is gone.
Yeah.
But yeah.
What is it saying?
I mean, he said that they're done with him.
Yeah.
But they're not talking about it.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll know a little bit more about this. We're the Two Princes on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
I'm Chris.
I'm Micah. What Flaming Lips song do you want to hear?
Anyone.
Okay.
Find any answers. The internet is, people say that the internet is like the information superhighway, but like,
no, it's just what they want us to know.
I'm
getting into conspiracies now,
and like, this was a really important one, and we are not privy to the information.
It'd be kind of cool if we never found out.
Yeah, just one day they're all gone. The greatest band to ever live.
I bet he started doing drugs
probably
again. Yeah,
that sounds like,
because he was into heroin at one point.
Heroin.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch their documentary?
No.
No.
It's good?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's depressing. I watched it one day in a different state, and I was like,
were you already depressed when you watched it?
Yeah.
And you thought that it would like rub with your depression and make you feel better?
Yeah, and then I'm like, oh man, this is such a sad life. Because like, all of Wayne Coyne's brothers are in jail or dead.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Is he, like, where did he, kind of family did he grow up?
Oklahoma.
In? Okay.
There were a bunch of crazy motorcycle drug guys.
Okay. And so, and then Wayne Coyne is, rebelled by being some kind of a hippie.
Well, Wayne Coyne got out, basically.
Wow.
Like, all his brothers were either in jail or just out of jail and on parole or dead.
How many brothers does he have?
He had, like, six.
Wow.
And then Stephen Drow's brother is in jail.
Mm.
And, like, it's just like, wow, they got out.
So they came from, like, a motorcycle gang family.
Yeah. And like, it wasn't a, and everyone who they ever, like, you know, you'd think that you get out, you pick, bring everyone out, like, you know, try to somewhat help pull some people out. But it's like, they got out and they just let everyone else sort of still be, like, rot.
Well, I mean, what are you going
to
do?
I know it's not their responsibility to do that, but, you know, you'd think that.
But, you know, you never, like, maybe there's just no saving some people. I don't know.
Yeah.
I do believe that everybody has a chance, but, hey, it's not up to me to judge someone who's in jail. It's also not up to me to judge someone who didn't want to throw their family a lifeline who's in jail.
But basically, from watching that documentary, I learned you either become the Flaming Lips,
or you go to jail and rot motorcycle crimes.
And you end up in jail or dead. Those are two things that happen to people in that world. You either become the Flaming Lips, or you go to jail. So I was like ready to go. I was like, okay, lock me up. I haven't committed a crime, but like, why delay the inevitable? You know?
Yeah,
it's going to happen.
Because
there's two roads. I'm not the Flaming Lips.
Well, yeah, so you should just rot in jail.
Yeah, I'll take the road more traveled, thanks.
Yeah. But, wow.
Yeah, it took me down a dark road of wanting to do crime.
Mm.
Or just get charged with doing crime. And me being like, yeah, had to have happened. Whatever you say.
I'm the BTK killer.
Yeah, I did it.
It's like, get out of here. The cops are laughing at you.
Yeah. I started the Lionsgate.
What the hell is that?
Heaven's Gate.
Heaven's Gate?
But Lionsgate is a film company.
Oh, yeah.
So I was trying to make it all complicated funny.
Yeah. I found this guy on YouTube called Young Scorpion.
Yeah. What's his story?
He's just some gangster guy.
Nice.
He wears his sunglasses on his nose.
Nice.
He has like a bandana. My favorite video of his is like, Celeste, come back. I want you. I need this. Like, he's trying to get his girlfriend to come back. And it's like, this guy is such a weird, like, mumble rapper dude, but like, his girlfriend's name was Celeste. So weird. Anyways, I'm really into that right now. And I don't mind TikTok, just not going on there, but just like making videos once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, I don't know. Why not? You just put dumb stuff on there.
Yeah.
I also like to view. So I've been thinking about all the sort of amateur content that goes out into reels and all that stuff. Yeah. I think I might have mentioned this. If you view it as performance art,
mm-hmm.
and don't think about the intention behind it, whether it's supposed to be good or not,
mm-hmm.
then it's all kind of entertaining.
Yeah.
Like, like, say what you will about Tim and Eric. They do all these, I love it. You don't. That's okay.
Yeah.
They do all these fake infomercials. And there are real infomercials that aren't that far off.
Yeah.
It's like they're doing it as comedy. But like, when you watch these infomercials, it's also really funny.
Yeah.
You could look at it as like, it's funny because they didn't mean it to be funny, so I'm making fun of them. But it's also like, yeah, these reels and this content and this stuff and these people, like, everybody has a platform now. And the stuff that goes out into the world is wild.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy, some of the stuff. And if you view it kind of as this performance art, then it's sort of entertaining, I think, you know?
Yeah.
Whether it's meant to be serious or not, I think it's just interesting, you know? I mean, some of it is so bad that you can't even watch it.
Yeah.
You know? But
it's like, do you want to sift through that? I guess you get the gold, eh? That's sort of what TikTok
I think
is.
It's just a way for me to feel less overwhelmed by the fact that it's just mostly crap.
Yeah.
And it's actual decent stuff is often overlooked because people are just, and you can see some, like, someone can put something out there that is done artistically and with, you know, integrity and full, like, a vision. Mm-hmm. You know, you could see a clip of that, and then you could flip past it because you didn't even pay attention to it. And then the next one is just some crap, but, like, they're not any different.
Yeah.
They're both in the same place, you know, so. I don't know, man. Who cares?
Yeah. Friendship the other day.
Oh, with
Paul Rudd and Tim Robinson.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It was terrifying. It was like,
yeah, oh yeah, so, yeah, yeah.
It was so uncomfortable.
Oh yeah, no, that some of that stuff was really good. Like yeah. The part where he's eating the soap.
Yeah,
like I love that though. I can kind of identify with that. Like somebody who doesn't necessarily like people that know how to hang.
Yeah.
They're fully aware of where the line is, mm-hmm. and they're like, depending on what crowd they're with or what part of the hang they're in, they can like dance on that line, or they can just approach it.
Yeah.
Or they can kind of step over it but come back.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, someone like the Tim Robinson character and myself often doesn't really know. Yeah. And then they're just like, think, okay, we're doing this now. Let's go crazy.
Yeah.
You know? And like, yeah, he like, cause like, yeah, like they're doing the boxing stuff.
Yeah.
And then he's just having a good time, you know, and he sucker punches the guy and he just thinks he's having a good time.
Yeah. And then everyone's mad at him.
But those guys were annoying though.
Yeah.
The buddies. Yeah. It's like the cool dudes from high school that were, that are still popular guys.
Yeah. Like it was super weird when they were singing to each other and it's like, what's going on?
I know.
Why are you having like a support group thing?
I loved how he redeemed himself in the end though. It was great. You know what? That was a good movie.
Yeah.
I liked it. I really like both those guys.
It was, and I forgot how cute Kate Mara is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She's a cutie pie. And a very good actor.
Yeah, very good. She had some, yeah.
I do think it's funny in those movies how it's like, and maybe that was part of like, maybe it was supposed to, like, remind us about how judgmental we are to think, like, why is this schmo with this girl?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, at near the end, when she's like, have you been working out? I was like, how did you ever find him attractive? Like, how did you get married and have a kid at any point?
I don't know. Maybe it's just, like, this idea that...
And, like, why did you stay with... And she was clearly cheating on him from the very beginning.
Who was she cheating on him with?
With Devin, or whatever his name is. Mm. Derek, or... DeLulu or whatever his name is. Devin, I think it was Devin.
Do you know that Lululemon was called that because of racism against Asian people?
No. How so?
Because it would be hard to say.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Apparently.
That's wild.
It might be a joke.
I mean, it seems like it... Like, what's the joy in that? Like... They'd still end up being able to order it. People would understand what they mean.
Yeah.
Like, there's no competing company that's close.
Both of us want to say it so bad.
I know, and we can't do it.
We can't do it.
Like, it doesn't exist, but the brand doesn't exist. So there's no no confusion
here. Yeah.
They're still going to be able to do it, and the person's going to be like, yeah. I understand it fully.
That could just be one of those things that someone saw on Facebook and thought was true and then it wasn't.
Yeah, it was probably just something that one person said that was like, this would be funny to say.
Yeah, it's probably joke. It's probably fake.
Or like somebody decided to yes-end their own little conspiracy theory and people believed it.
To what?
Like yes-ending, like improving a conspiracy theory.
Yes-ending?
Yeah, to yes-end. It's basically the rule of improv is okay. Like... You know, if you're doing improv, you always say yes to whatever the other person offers. Okay. And then you add on to it. So somebody probably got into their own little conspiracy and just kept going about how they would have done it as a way of being racist towards Asian peoples.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually got it to have such a big following that...
Now, we do know that the thing about... Is it Tommy Hilfiger?
Yeah.
That was true.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a bad man.
Was he? Or did he just say something really crappy
on Oprah? Yeah. I mean, he said an awful thing on Oprah.
Yeah.
He picked, like, the worst place to say the worst thing he could have said.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd think that would be a pretty hard conviction then.
It's like, yeah you had to, like, you know, if you're going to go and say that.
Yeah, then you probably really mean it.
Yeah, you clearly mean it.
Yeah.
And you made a statement. And now I can't wear your shirts. To be fair, I couldn't buy his shirts anyway because they're a bit outside of my pay bracket. But
I mean, to be fair, the practice of making those shirts and pretty much any designer shirt is much worse than what he said anyways.
Yeah.
So
really, the least the least problematic thing
about Tommy Hilfiger
is his beliefs on race theory. That's the least problematic.
Well, think about all this, how like all our shirts are made.
I know.
It's horrible.
I know, it's awful. It's awful. Have you read No Logo?
I don't want to.
It goes in deep about it.
At least wearing a thrift store thing is like way down the line.
Yeah, I mean, it's already done. The damage has been done.
Yeah. So keep using it.
But nowadays, thrift stores are either... It's either a Salvation Army, which is problematic for its own reasons.
Or Value Village.
Or Value Village, which is also problematic for its own reasons.
So, you know, just do what you can, where you can, and wear what you like. I do, you know, I'm not condoning any of it, but, like, we all need clothes.
Yeah.
Tommy Hilfiger's a jerk, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're all making their clothes, in a way that is undesirable.
Yeah.
Except for, like, the occasional company. It's like a hemp company or something.
Yeah. But then you're wearing hemp clothing. And...
Yeah, and you don't want to be lumped in with those guys.
No.
I'd rather not be judged for wearing hemp, you know?
Mm-hmm. All the people I've heard who wear hemp have their own stories of being problematic.
Don't you think, though, that, like, because we all have to be in denial about something or other in order to actually just exist in our society without losing our minds completely,
mm-hmm.
isn't that why we're judging each other all the time? Because there's this deep-seated self-loathing that I have to be in denial about something or other in my life.
I'm a bad person, and to make me feel better, I'm going to call someone else a bad person. All the other ways that people are bad people in ways that I'm
not.
Not.
It's like drug addicts.
Yeah.
Okay? I've encountered this. Someone who does meth will say, at least I don't smoke crack.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Yeah. A $20 prostitute will look down their nose at a $10 prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
Will look down their nose at a $5 prostitute.
So, I think, that, you know, I think a lot of my misery comes from comparing myself to other people.
Yeah.
And it really isn't, like, okay, there are times when, like, the opinions, like, you know, the opinions of some of the people that are around me are important when it comes to, like, if I do something that hurts somebody that I love, mm-hmm. and they say, hey, you hurt me, that's just a fact.
Yeah.
And that's important. That's when somebody thinking something of me is important.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, if there's enough love there, we can work it out,
yeah.
you know? And by we can work it out, it's me apologizing.
Yeah.
And if they don't accept the apology, I can't do anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. I did, you know, I tried. Mm-hmm. But outside of any of that, really... It's just, again, it's just feeding the machine.
Yeah.
Because if we compare ourselves to others, we feel a void. And how do we fill that void? What's the only way that we know how to fill that void? Buying crap.
Buying crap. Right. True.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why, like, I think about that, like, why, you know, money is the most important value. And the only real great value of life. And it's just because, yeah, it's one we see everywhere. It's what we're taught.
So if you're going to a protest and you buy something on Amazon,
mm-hmm. don't bother going to the protest. You're already contributing. You should change sides.
No, I'm not that hardcore.
You are the problem.
I'm not that hardcore. I do believe it's impossible. Like, people don't have to work. I do believe it's impossible to live in our society without doing something that's going to hurt somebody. I believe that. And you know, if going to the protest is important to you and you believe in it, then you should go.
Yeah, just know that you're no better than the people you're protesting against.
I mean, you garbage person.
Because there's no good or bad. Everything's just relative. Everything is relative, and nobody goes and makes a decision being like, I'm a bad guy. This is the wrong thing to do.
No, we have to call each other bad to feel better about ourselves so we can continue to live.
Yeah, because that is how oxygen works, you know? You take in your goodness, and you exhale their badness. And then they inhale, you know, and yeah.
You know what I've seen recently, and it's really beautiful, is non-reaction.
Yeah. Oh, man, you want to win every... You want to make every girl ever get, like, really mad? Like, so mad?
Well, no, there's this guy, and, like, he's just saying all this outrageous stuff all the time, just the craziest stuff.
Yeah.
And if you don't react to him, mm-hmm. he just kind of fizzles out.
Yeah.
And it's not reacting as in to say, I don't like you. It's just he wants to get a rise.
Yeah, and you're not giving it to him.
Yeah. And then it's like, okay, we can just get on with our lives.
Yeah, it's the best.
You know?
It's the best. And it makes so many females who you might be in a relationship with so angry.
It makes men angry, too.
I know. I don't go into many relationships with men. I can't tell you the last time I had any... And I'm not talking about sexual relationships, but I've never had it's been a long time since... I think the last time would have been like, you know, when we'd argue about the Beatles. Where somebody's... Where my opinion would make someone so angry that it would
become... That what you understand... I understand now. I hope you probably understood at the time that yeah. wasn't about the Beatles.
I know.
That was about me being incredibly frustrated with my musical life and just feeling like I lost control of the one thing that made me whole.
I'm sorry.
And I had to take it out on people around me. And I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. But that was the last time
that... And it never made anybody want to listen to the Beatles.
Never did. But
it's my thing.
But then, you know, it's just been a very long time since I've had... a relationship with a guy where they cared enough about my opinion or any situation, anything that I could be doing at the time that would make them angry and worth getting all worked up about something. Whereas I've had a few relationships with females where they'd be mad at me for something and feel like there's a need for it to be worked out, and I would feed them a whole pile full of non-reaction.
Okay, well, there's a difference. Yeah, but that just sounds like you're not... wanting to talk about the thing that needs to be talked about.
They're talking, and I'm not reacting to it. I'm just like, what did you say? Then they're like, you're not listening, and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. Because I wasn't listening.
It's different when somebody has a real issue with you that needs to be addressed.
No issues ever need to be addressed. This idea that we have to talk through all our problems, it's just bananas. It's cuckoo bananas, you know? I've gone 73 years on this planet without having any issues with, you know, people, you know, and like, sure, I've lost a lot of friends along the way, as you do when you start to reach my age. You just see all your friends going, and family going, but, you know, there's been a lot of birthdays I've forgotten, and so... What was I talking about? It probably didn't even matter. Oh, yeah, issues and people. And when you're 73 years.
It's the same as my buddy there that was like, someone would try to like bring up something and be like, man, are you serious, dude? Like, you can't do that. And he'd be like, you do you.
You do you, bro.
It's classic.
Classic. I love the you do you.
I know. We're the two princes doing us.
We're doing us all night long, baby.
CKUW 95.9 FM, Winnipeg, Manitoba, baby.
And Chris.
I'm Mike.
Whoa.
In the beginning.
When I was about 8 years old, I first heard about something called
the Smoky Tiger.
Apparently that was something humans had created by our way of living.
It was too unreal.
as if there was a world war going on.
Hey, the shaman like, I can't do it, gotta go for the ride, dude. And it was like, oh, man, it's like I'm dying. Things are going in my face. I'm seeing the Aztec things. I'm seeing toads. I'm just seeing weird animals. Things are just flying. It's like another chamber. It's boom, flashing. Yeah, boom. Yeah. And you gone. It's like a rocket. You taking off. Boom.
Yeah, it's beyond your imagination.
Yeah, it's inconceivable. Can't even explain it. You know what kind of music you listening to?
I listen to everything.
I listen to a lot of classic rock for whatever reason. But I've been listening to a lot of
The Smoky Tiger.
Yeah. Well, he's talking about a lot of crazy shit. He actually talked about DMT in one of his recent songs.
Really? You think he did that before?
I think he did.
Oh man.
56.
It was so bad that it threatened our very existence. How could we just continue like before? Why were there no restrictions? Why wasn't it made illegal?
The Smoky Tiger is here.
To me, that did not add up.
Even the meaning of his name is uncertain.
The most likely interpretations, the old master, or more picturesquely, a dropout from society. Written in a style of gem-like lucidity, radiant with humor and grace, and large-heartedness and deep wisdom. One of the wonders of the world. We can't tell the dancer from the dance. Yet its penis can stand erect. So intense is its vital power. Effortlessly, without any interference of the conscious will.
Great show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna have a chocolate.
Yeah. So today I answered the phone at work, and this guy was like, "Where's my taxi? I've been here for 30 minutes." I'm like, "Where are you?" And he's like, "Portage and Kennedy." Mm. And I'm like, "Is that the address you gave? Because I can guarantee you that we didn't send you a car. If that's the address you gave, that's not a thing we do." He's like, "Yeah, I'm at the front of the mall there." Oh, I'm like, "Oh. We don't generally stop at the front of Portage Place Mall because, like, there's the transit guys. I know there's that little parking spot thing, but if we go in their lane, they call the city on us and we get fined." But like, and I'm like, "Well, if you want to get picked up, like, that's not a great place to get picked up. You should probably go to the back door." He's like, "But I'm at the front." I'm like, "Okay, good luck." He's like, you want me to go to the back door? I'm like, I don't care what you do, but if you want to get picked up,
yeah,
you would have a higher ratio of success if you went to the back door. But again, you do you, bro. And he was like, oh, I'll go to the back door then. And I'm like, sure, great.
Huh.
But like this idea that people think that I care, and it's like, I don't care, man.
Well, you don't care about this person on a personal level because you don't know them.
I don't care about anybody on any level. That's not true. I made a person really mad saying that sort of thing.
Well, okay.
But
the reason why that would frustrate me
is because I
believe in you. And I don't generally want to think that someone I love actually feels that way deep down inside.
No.
And I know you don't. That being said, that you have a bit of that quality.
Yeah.
And it's good when used correctly.
Yeah, like you can do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool. I don't care what you do.
Mm-hmm. People are going to do what they're going to do.
I don't care who you are, where you're from, what you did. As long as you love me.
I love that song.
Yeah, man.
Who's that by again?
Backstreet Boys.
Yeah. What a bunch of guys.
What a bunch of guys. What a bunch of boys from the back streets.
The Back Pain Boys.
The back streets of the Hollywood Hills.
Yeah.
I don't know where they're from.
I don't know. I'm excited for the Olympics, though.
Yeah?
Yeah, I love it.
What sports do you like to watch in the Olympics?
Curling.
Curling.
I like curling.
Nice.
I have always found that, there's so many different types of body types and looks in sport.
Yeah.
I find, of all the athletes, I like the curling women the best.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
I think they're all nice girls.
They all look like very nice people.
Yeah. That's not why I watch it.
No.
Maybe a little bit.
It's captivating.
But I love curling.
It's fun to watch. So captivating. Yeah. Like, I can't watch these slalom things unless it's a big crash out. Like, the skiing and the snowboarding, I'm like, eh. Because I don't know what's going on. You know, because you got to beat that little time or whatever. And it's just like, meh. But curling... Don't get me wrong, I hardly think it's a sport, but if my eyes catch curling, they cannot leave curling, because it all very much makes sense, and every throw seems like, well, like the last three throws per side feel like they're of the utmost importance.
And it is like the one place ever where Winnipeg always has a decent shot of being a part of it.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going this year.
No. But
they have in the past.
Yeah.
Jeff Stoughton.
Jeff Stoughton. I think Cindy the Klassenmaker.
Cindy Klassen? She's a speed skater.
She's a speed skater? Oh. Who's the girl lady guy then? Oh, yeah. Cindy Klassen was the one who broke all the records.
Girl lady guy?
The girl lady guy who was in the... Who's the famous girl lady guy? Curlers. I'm trying to make it keep gender neutrality going, you know?
Don't tell Kid Rock if it gets up on a Budweiser can.
Oh, man. Yeah. Girl, lady, guy, light.
Sorry, if they get...
They.
When I said it, I didn't mean it as in the person. I don't
know.
Yeah. Yeah, I just meant the thing. The picture.
Yeah, the picture ends up on a...
Yeah. Damn it, nobody cares. Nobody's listening that deeply to this.
Nobody's listening,
period. Yeah, exactly. Oh my god, what world do we live in?
The best one. This is the best reality.
I know.
Greatest timeline.
I know. It's like everything is so severe.
Yeah. The severity of it, the severance of it.
You know what it is, though? It's because every time you go on your phone, which is always forever now, constantly.
Truly.
There's the opinions of a billion people, like their energy coming at you. And it is paralyzing.
Yeah.
So, also, like, now that I got off social media, I can just be better than other people.
Oh, yeah. I am jealous of you for your... I just felt it when I saw you today. I'm like, oh, something's changed. Mike is, like, I've never thought that anyone was better than me, but then I saw you and I'm like, oh, Micah is better than me, and now I know why.
You know what's such a funny thing to think, okay, like, when people are competing with each other, it's like, the person who, like, wins, who's, like, the better person, like, how is that fun for them? Because then, like, the other person, like, when people are, how like, I've formulated this, like, pre-words before. Like, like when gang members are beaking each other, and it's like, I'm the king, you know? No, I'm the king. It's like, the one that's, like, neither of them are the king. Yeah. They're just, and it doesn't go anywhere, and it's like, wouldn't it be more fun if they could be, if one was like, I'm the king, and the other one was like, no, I'm the king, and then the other guy was like, wait, you're right. And it's like, really? Yeah. Well, then you're also the king. And then they could be kings together.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only time I think when we win is when other people... That's why sports and, like, if you, shouldn't be about winning.
And if you prove that you are better than someone else that you're hanging around with, then, like, why are you hanging around with them? Because they're going to, like... If you're the best and you're better than them, then everyone who surrounds you is going to bring you down.
Yeah, don't you know that, like, there's some people you just got to jettison?
You got to jettison, man, because you're the average of your...
You got to protect your peace.
Yeah. Oh, protecting your peace.
Is that just an excuse to, like, not have a 3-minute conversation with someone?
Yeah.
That you're, like, you have to have an awkward conversation with them, and then, like, years go by, and it just gets worse and worse, and really it's just, like, the stupidest thing ever. It's like, you made a sandwich in front of me, and I was jealous, but I didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes on for years, and then, like, instead of being like, we could just talk about that, you're like, nope, I'm going to protect my peace. They're out of my life.
Yeah.
And if you talk to them, you could have learned how to make the sandwich.
Yeah. But at the same time,
not everybody has to be friends with everybody.
Yeah, it's not that big of a deal if someone's not in your life. It's like, oh man, you're not in my life anymore? Snap. What am I going to do now?
Yeah.
Anything else. There are 8 billion people in this world. I can have another you in a minute. Matter of fact, he'll be here any minute. Because you must not know about me. You must not know about me. But yeah. It's always funny when people, like, I guess you don't know anymore because you're better than everyone, but when people post on the Facebook, about how they're...
Okay, I get still rid look of at Facebook occasionally. I just got rid of the apps on my phone.
How they had to get rid of all the people on their things because they were toxic or...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they make a big post about it. Yeah, and it's there's nothing I can care less...
Well, I think it's because they want to be validated for ditching somebody about an opinion.
Yeah, and it's like, you didn't need to do that.
Like, don't you understand that by protecting your peace, you're just feeding capitalism?
Exactly. Everything you do just feeds capitalism. When you could have had a little awkward conversation about how we need to, get rid of microplastics and...
Yeah. And then you realize that the person you were talking to this about comes from a long line of plastic people. And it's like they can't help that...
Yeah. That now you're right. Now you're just, like, offensive to the plastic people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how dare you lessen their experience?
But you're wearing elephant pants, so you're important.
Mm. It's true.
Nothing against it. I just think that things go so extreme.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, okay, pants were way too tight. Now they're way too loose. You know what looks good? The right pants for the right leg.
Yeah. What about the left leg?
And
this guy has a problem with left legs.
You know, my left foot is slightly smaller than my right foot.
Oh, so you've never gotten... It's huge. I'm sorry. Should we talk about this stuff now that the door is
open? No, it's actually just kind of nice because when I have mismatched socks, I can find one that's slightly bigger than the other one.
Nice.
And put it on my left foot. And then I feel like I've hacked my body.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go on Craigslist and find someone that wants to hack my body.
Nice. How much do you think it's going to... I mean, it won't matter to you. It'll just be like...
No, it's just an arrangement.
Everything
it's
I have
like,
left.
I want someone to hack me to bits, and they want to do that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So just
it's a mutual consensual arrangement. Nice. And
everyone wins.
Everybody wins. And I'm pretty sure that happened in Germany.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That definitely happened in Germany.
Or here.
Maybe.
I'm German, okay? Just remember, sometimes you say things that could be offensive.
I just think Germany is one of those countries where you'd find
situation
Germany. Available. Probably you could probably find it in the Czech Republic as well. What's another place that you could probably find that sort of a deep underbelly? Probably in Liverpool.
Yeah.
Manchester.
You can find it anywhere, but you know, it's just like stay off the dark web.
Mm-hmm. Or if you want to find it, stay on the dark web.
Oh, yeah. That's why they need to invent a virtual reality game where people, like, all the wildest fantasies that people have, they can enact them in a mm-hmm. fantasy way. Or that could just give them a taste for blood, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Could go either way on that.
Mm-hmm.
It'll either scratch an itch or itch a scratch.
Yeah. Luckily, my only fantasy is a perfect sandwich.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you never learned how to make it.
I know. There's a mouse over there. You hear it?
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you a story about... Did I tell you my mouse story?
No.
I think we're running out of time.
Oh, no. Here's time for a mouse story.
Okay. It's just really, really gross.
Yeah, tell me out. Let's get it.
I had an accident on the floor, and I had to clean it up by going in the shower.
Yeah.
And there was a mouse going down my drain.
Oh!
And this was in the morning when I was trying to get ready for work.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and then...
Oh.
Yeah, and then the mouse... I ran the water a bit, and I was like, I don't want to kill this mouse. And the mouse came out, and
then you beat it to death.
No, and it was cute. It was all wet.
Oh.
It was like a wet little cute mouse. And I tried to get it out with a dustpan.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't get out of the tub. And then it went down the drain again. And then I had to plug... I was like, okay, I'm going to plug the drain. Because
yeah.
I thought maybe if I gave it some time... Like, I didn't want to kill the mouse, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, I eat a ton of meat, you know? I'm a hypocrite.
Yeah. But it was already dead.
Yeah.
When you cooked it.
Yeah, and the person who packaged it didn't say that he wouldn't have packaged it, or she wouldn't have packaged it, or they wouldn't have packaged it, if they'd known someone like me was going to eat it.
Yeah. The amount of meat that just goes bad in grocery stores... without people eating it is illogical. So if you don't or get these animals, the meat in the stores, you are letting that animal die in vain, and you're not honoring the spirit of the animals by turning it into the food that it's supposed to be, that it was created, raised, factory farmed, to be for us.
Anyways, the mouse is still here, apparently.
Yeah. Is it the same guy? Same friend, you think?
I don't
know.
Do
you think he has a whole family living in your walls now?
I don't know.
It's rough that it's on the...
Well, they plugged up the holes.
Oh.
And they didn't do anything about it. They just plugged up the holes. So now it's stuck in here.
Nice.
But they gave me these sticky traps, and I had a harrowing experience with the sticky traps once.
Yeah.
At the house I work at.
What harrowing experience?
A mouse got stuck to one.
Mm-hmm. That
and I tried to get it off of there.
Why did you try to get it off?
Because I wanted to throw it outside. Because it was just, like, stuck to this trap.
Well...
It was just gonna suffer forever.
Yeah.
Until it died.
Yeah.
And like, either I start feeding it, or I throw it out into... And, like, to unstick it, I think I ended up breaking its back.
Yeah, once they're on the sticky trap is not for a safe release.
But I think a cat probably was going to eat it.
Maybe.
I don't like the sticky traps.
Yeah, they're not, I mean, they're effective.
And maybe this is some kind of guilt, you know? It's like, I don't feel great about myself and all the places I've been and some of the things I've done, so at least I can not let a mouse die. Maybe if I was of sound mind, I would just beat it with a club.
What, is this on a sticky trap?
Yeah. No, just now.
Oh, just, I mean, I think that would look like a cartoon where you're just trying to beat it with a club and then just breaking your entire apartment. And it'll run up the walls, you'll break your piano, and just trying to beat this mouse with a club.
You know what I love? You know what's really good? Back to Future 2.
Yeah.
I think that's my favorite one.
Yeah?
Some people say it's not the best one. Maybe the first one's the best.
And the first one's considered a classic that is used for screenwriting courses across the world.
Really?
Yeah. That one and Witness, apparently, is...
Are those both Jim Beckus films?
No. I don't think so.
Did he write the screenplay for that one?
I don't know if Zemeckis has written anything.
Oh.
I think he's one of those guys who just takes found property and...
Well, he turned a book into a movie.
Did he write it, or did he...
Forrest Gump?
Did he write the screenplay? Or did he... Is it just direct... Is it written directed by Robert Zemeckis, or just directed by Robert Zemeckis?
I don't know. Find out.
Yeah, let's find out. Because I always just assumed he was like Spielberg and that he doesn't actually do anything, but like...
I mean, he makes incredible films.
He just points a camera at someone else's work.
He made Forrest Gump. He's the one guy in history that took a book and made the movie better than it.
I mean, every movie is better than a book.
Because it's more easy to be...
Because a book takes 12 hours to read in general... And a movie takes...
6 months.
Well, I mean, that's... Yeah. That's a book.
Okay. I think that we're done here.
Yeah, we are now...
We might have some answers for you next time.
Simply based on economic of time, all movies are better than the books.
Right. Right, right. Screenplay.
Eric Roth.
I mean, so what? So what? It's like compartments. Like, it was a book, and then the guy that was really good at turning it into the screenplay did that.
Is Eric
And
Roth.
Then the guy that was really good at making it into the movie did that. What's the big deal?
Well.
You try to do that.
What, make a movie with filming cameras things?
Sorry, that's really mean thing to say.
I tried doing that once, and as...
I'm sure if you'd had the budget, you could have
made it. Yeah, if I tried to do anything above a $0 budget.
But what you did learn that day is that Jim Varney is the greatest
character of all time.
And do you have anything else to add?
Just, like, support your local independent filmmakers and go watch movies at the Cinematheque.
That's a great spot. And you might run into Kevin McDonald.
Yeah, Kevin McDonald is known to frequent those spaces. Yep. He's also sometimes found at the Burrito del Rio on River and Osborne.
I also saw him running once.
If you see him, tell him how much you loved his work in Lilo and Stitch.
We are the two princes on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
I'm Chris.
I'm Micah.
This is Marianne from Red Rose Red, and you're listening to CKUW, where local music is always blooming.
Generous support to CKUW 95.9 FM is provided by Into the Music, quality collectible music since 1987. Into the Music is located in the Exchange District, 245 McDermott at the corner of King Street. To receive our twice-weekly newsletter, call the store or go online at intothemusic.ca to sign up. Kick off your Friday evenings at 7:30 with us at our in-store stage for free all-ages shows featuring local bands and performers.
This is Circle One every Sunday at 8 p.m. on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. Sunday Night Punk with Spanky Boy, Mean Man, and Tiny O.
Located on the first floor of Portage Place Shopping Center, Studio 393 is a come-as-you-are drop-in studio space for people aged 13 to 29, run by Graffiti Art Programming. The program curriculum is shaped by participants focusing on music production, recording, DJing, creative writing, and podcasting. In addition to a highly qualified staff of practicing artists, Studio 393 also receives local, national, and international guest artists and professionals to facilitate workshops and mentor aspiring and emerging artists. We also offer personal and professional development opportunities. Studio 393 is now open 4 to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 1 to 3 p.m. on Saturdays. For more information, please contact info@graffitigallery.ca or go to www.graffitigallery.ca.